You're listening to the Direction for Life podcast. We pray this episode blesses you. We'd love to connect with you. Visit us at rdci.info or on Facebook at Right Direction Church International. Also, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at TheRDCI. We hope you enjoy this broadcast.
God bless you. Good to see y'all, Philip. So he's progressively helping us and empowering us. When I came up against the wall academically with one of my kids, praying in the Holy Ghost gave me strategy. So some of you say, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to mother this child. I don't know what's going on. If you pray in the Holy Ghost, the scripture says you will be able to spiritually discern. You know, and the 15th verse said, the spiritual man tries all things, examines and investigates and inquires into questions and to be put on trial of things. So you would begin to judge things and examine what you're being presented with. And say, God, is this the right person I should be with as a single woman? I know he's fine, but is he mine? Why he got a tan line on that finger? Oh, it's nothing. He fine. No, the Holy Ghost must tell you, ask him, what's on that? Why you got a tan line there? The Holy Ghost is practical. He would tell you not to get in the bed, and he'll tell you to get in the bed with your husband. Get out of the bed with that one, thank you, dear, because he ain't yawn. Get in that one, because he is yawn. Oh, Lord. See, now, I wasn't talking about this, but y'all need to get in the bed. Those of you who are married and your husband is hungry, feed him. Oh, Lord, do we have hungry husbands in the house? Oh, we got some hungry husbands in the house. Let me hear the hungry husband. Y'all be scared. It's all right. Listen, I'm going to tell you how this works. When you're young, you're like, oh, my God, oh, why he's hungry again? You're feeding him. Then he gets older, like, where's his hunger? Why is he hungry? Feed him while he's hungry. Because night cometh when no man be hungry. So the Holy Ghost empowers us with an anointing, not just for this, not just for this, but for this, and for this. We are dominating, subduing, ruling out there, but in the home, we're not winning. So God's like, I need you to pray in the Holy Ghost so you can progressively get better. He can tell you what's wrong with your child, tell you what's wrong with your marriage, tell you how to come up with a schedule, tell you how to manage your household, tell you how to support your husband. When we was going into this building project, the Lord began to speak to me. He said, now listen, this ain't like that. This is not like the sprung. This is not like moving from the postal worker union hall to 3608, and it's not 1230. This is major. So there is a navigation I need you to take on to handle the waters of this season. The Holy Ghost would give you intel and give you a navigational map to go through the waters of the season of whatever you are dealing with in your life, regarding your children, regarding your marriage, but you got to solicit him. You got to release him. You got to speak those utterances. And you got to spend time with him to examine, to judge, and ask God, what are you showing me? What is this I'm seeing? Speak to me. I got to take some time to sit down with the Holy Ghost so he can illuminate my mind. So he can begin to show me what is what. God will help you to win in the courtroom, in the bank room, in the boardroom, and in the bedroom. All right? So we stay woke with the power of the Holy Ghost. Number two, we got to bruise the head of the heel bruiser. Stop living with the devil. Stop tolerating him. Stop just talking about him. You know, the devil's doing this, and the devil's doing that, and the devil's doing this, and the devil did that, and the devil showed me. No, I'm going to take authority over you, devil. What you're not going to do is bring, I'm going to allow my child to bring home another bad report card. I'm the buck stop here. This is it. He's going to graduate, or he's going to pass this grade, or she's going to do such a, I refuse to allow this to go on. And some of us are saying that, oh, well, it's not that deep. But something on the inside of you is saying it is that deep. Right? That's the Holy Ghost telling you, come on, search this thing out. What's going on here? Stop saying, see, the world knowledge is saying, well, you got to ask them what they're feeling. You got to ask them what's going on. No, I got to ask you, God. We're asking children too many questions when they don't even know their whole address. We are giving, my husband brought something out. We allow them to make some decisions when they can't get a driver's license at the age of 5 or 8. They can't drink until a particular age. They can't even get cigarettes. But we're giving them all these choices. What do you want to wear? What do you want? What do you not want to be? You don't like how you was born? What's your choice? But you can't drive. I got to drive you to the doctors and sign on the paperwork to get your change. But if you know it, you should be able to drive yourself there. Parents, let them make their own decision. When you get of age, do what you want to do. But I'm not going to drive you. I just need you as parents to think things through. We're giving them so many options, they have the power to make so many decisions, but they can't make it on their own. You know, and so as parents, we got to stay woke and make a decision. I'm going to bruise the head bruiser. I'm going to bruise the head of the heel bruiser, that he's been messing with my child, messing with my family, and I'm going to Satan-proof my home. Satan-proof your home. Appropriate the blood of Jesus over your home every day. I don't let a day go by without appropriating the blood of Jesus over my home and over my children's home. And I'm praying for strength because my husband wants 10 grandchildren. I said, and that's a lot of prayer time and blood appropriation, Jesus. We're good. And so, and where does that come from? Appropriate the blood of Jesus is speaking and declaring and pleading the blood of Jesus with your mouth, right? Pleading the blood of Jesus. It's not, please, Jesus. Pleading the blood of Jesus is litigating your case through and by with the blood of Jesus. So through the word of God, you said that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm litigating. I'm pleading the blood of Jesus. And I'm putting the blood of Jesus over my home. Anything that the devil's trying to do in my home, by and through the blood of Jesus, because your word said in Isaiah 54:17, I'm litigating my case. You can't litigate. You can't plead the blood without the word. The word is the law. Y'all with me, right? The word is the law. You bring the law before the judge. And if you don't bring the law before the judge in the natural, even though he knows the law, you got to speak the law. So if you got a bad lawyer who don't know the law, your behind may go to jail. But if you have a lawyer that knows the law, he could bring it to the judge and get you out of jail, even though you should go to jail. You just need to know how to litigate what you're supposed to litigate so you make your case plain. Are you with me? Many of us say, God, help me. I never guessed. God, help me. Help me. Help me. God said, help you with what? I had to go through the word. And when I began to see that, that seemed like many are the affliction of the righteous, but you should deliver them out of all. Oh, I'm litigating through and by the blood of Jesus. You said, through the shed blood of your son, he shed his blood for me to be delivered from all of the afflictions, that the seed of the righteous shall be mighty on the earth. Seed of the righteous shall be blessed. So I litigate that. I plead my case. And I declare before God, your son's blood was shed for this scripture, and I bring it before you and put you in remembrance of your word. You said in your word, this is this, and the blood of Jesus binds the word to me. Say, I qualify for litigation of my children to be blessed. I want to let you know, blessed children just don't belong to pastors and leaders. It belongs to you. Litigate your case regarding your seed. Put the word of God in your mouth. Bruise the head of the heel bruiser. Bruise the head. Just don't sit there, be traumatized, mesmerized, and paranoid by all what he's doing. Say, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm not supposed to live like this. This is not supposed to be my children. I didn't give birth to go through this. This didn't come from my body. Something else is going on here. I come against this thing and I plead the blood of Jesus. And you see this in Exodus when God was getting ready to deliver his people out of Egypt. He says, take the blood, put it on the house, on the doorpost. And whatever's on the earth, it will pass by your house. All right, we are in uncertain times. We are in crazy times. We're in turbulent times. We're in all kind of foolery times. Put the blood of Jesus over your house. This is how you do. I plead the blood of Jesus over my house, over my opening, over my doorways, over my windows, over my property, over my vehicles of transportation, bumper to bumper, window to window, roof to axle. I plead the blood of Jesus. No hurt, harm, or danger coming to anybody that live in this house. I plead the blood of Jesus over the buses, over the schools, over the malls. I take authority over every weapon, every device that's trying to cause hurt, harm, and danger. It will pass by my city. It will pass by my house. It will pass by my family. Why? Because we're covered in the blood of Jesus. And you get the oil. Get oil, y'all. How many of y'all have oil? How many of y'all have spotter oil? We got oil in the bookstore, y'all. We got oil. It's prayed for. And you anoint your kids. My God. You heard my son say that many a night they will all wake up oily. Because I'm like, no, I'm anointing my children. I'm setting them apart. You can't have my seed. I anoint him every day and lay hands on him. No, this is my child. And I did it at night because during the day, they like problematic. Mom, leave me alone. What you doing? Well, I got something for you when you go to sleep. A set of hands be on you. My God, you lay hands on them and you anoint them. Do not dismiss the power of anointing oil that's been blessed, that's been prayed for, that wherever the oil touches, yokes destroyed, burdens are removed, devil got to flee, sickness got to go, deliverance has to happen, because I anoint you with oil. And I want to let you know, it pays off. It pays off. So you plead the blood of Jesus, you anoint with oil, and then you take your spiritual authority and you bind, and you loose. You bind stuff you don't like. You loose what you want to see. You come against those things that's showing up and say, no, I'm going to use my keys. That's Matthew 16 and 19. Jesus telling Peter and telling his disciples, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, declare lawful on earth must be what is already loosed in heaven. So you use your authority. You got to speak. You got to use your mouth. You got to use your words. We tell children all the time when they want something, they like crying. We say, use your words. Amen. Use your words. The angels in heaven say, use your words. Use your words. He breathed into you the breath of life and made you another speaking spirit. Use your words. Just don't get on the prayer line. Use your words. Don't wait for the pastor to speak something over you. Use your words. Come on, we got to be woke, y'all. Woke parents. So I come against this thing. I bind this. This is the devil. This is not of God. Don't tolerate and sleep with the enemy. Somebody say, I'm not going to sleep with the devil no more. So we're going to plead the blood. We're going to litigate our case through the blood of Jesus. And we're going to bind and loose with our words. Bind and loose with our words. The third thing the Lord wants me to share with you this morning. Because Satan lies wait to bruise your heel, right? And some of us gone through some stuff. How many of y'all gone through some stuff? You're still working through it, right? I'm still working through some stuff. So I had to work through something major recently when my daughter gave birth in Harlem. I had no idea that the streets of Newark still traumatized me until I got there. And not just that, with dogs, I watched my brother get really bitten very badly by a Doberman pincher. The dog jumped over me and attacked my brother. So I love dogs, but I got a problem with street dogs. Because the dog was just in the neighborhood. I got a problem with loose neighborhood dogs. I went walking when we first moved, and I called my husband because this dog came running after me. I said, God almighty. I was going to go run down a busy street zigzag. I'm going, you going down by a car. But I had to get back down my streets. So I called my husband. I said, can you come get me? He said, what? I said, this is dog. He's a marshal, really? I said, this is dog. Where's the dog? Don't matter. Just come get me. Come get me, honey. So he came and got me. He's like, where's the dog? I don't know. But he was there. Petrified. Got to get a ride home. Yo, man, I tell you, everybody in Harlem had a pit bull. I was like, what? Get your dog. He bigger than you. Why you got him wrapped around three times? The leash, that means he's too strong for you. But determined to show up for my daughter. Even though I didn't see my mother show up for me. Praying in the Holy Ghost to help you get progressively better. So I don't reproduce in her what was given to me. The buck has to stop somewhere, family. Some of y'all are repeating some stuff that you know was not right. How your mother talked, how your mother father did this, how your mother talked to this. You got to make a decision. I will not reproduce her situation because my situation is not her situation. And the Lord had to tell me, Marcia, this is not that. That was hard coming up, but this is not what you're dealing with right now. This Harlem is a community, even though it looks like a scary community. It's not what you think. This is not that. Keep walking. Keep showing up. Don't allow that to stop you from walking the streets to get to her. I had to walk about eight blocks. We walked about eight blocks, and my husband was there for a while, and then he had to come back here, so I had to walk those blocks by myself. And initially, I was like, I can do this. Only way I was able to do that and not be distracted, disturbed, dismayed, disturbed, and or absent-minded was through the Holy Ghost. I walked and prayed in the Holy Ghost. So when I got there, I was able to be present. So I got there, I ain't talk about what I went through. So I got there, I didn't talk about my emotional distress. Because it wasn't about my emotional distress. I was helping her postpartum. We're bringing into situations that people don't need to know about. You're there to help. You're there to serve. You're there to show up. You're there to support, not to rehearse. Taking the tension off of her and bringing it on me. The Holy Ghost will help you to get progressively better. Many of us are light starved. Because parents never showed you that the attention you need. So when you get to a place of being in before people, you're hungry for attention. You're hungry for some compliments. You're hungry for the light. And you can't show up and be present to do what God has called you to do. When we come here on this platform, Bishop and I and any of the ministers, it's not about us. It's about him. But if I'm hungry, needy, hungry from something I did not receive as a child, I'm going to take this and make it about me. I'm going to look for the attention, and I'm going to look for a hand clap and say, okay, I did a good job. But the good job is you walking some stuff out. Good job is delayed gratification. Good job is seeing you move from poverty into paying your bills, into getting out of debt, into home freedom, buying a home and debt freedom. That's good job, not. You got to wait this out. That's why sometimes people don't last long because they can't wait it out. Because this lasts for a minute. You go home with yourself. Ain't nobody in the house doing this because they know your stuff stink just like theirs. Y'all all right? So we're bruised here, but not broken. The Lord said, Marcia, you're bruised, but you're not broken. You can help your daughter through this, but you can't allow your bruise to take over and make you act like you're broken. Many of us are nursing our bruises, lying with our bruises, letting our bruises tell us what we can't do and what we need to do. So as a result of that, we're showing up broken. What is showing up broken? Not showing up at all. Not able to do what you know you need to do. You know you need to be there for your child, but you just can't be there because it's broken. You know you need to be there in the classroom, but you can't be there because you're just broken. You know you need to show up and support your spouse, but you can't do it because you're just broken. And God said, Jesus was wounded and broken for all of that. Stop allowing what you was bruised with to make you feel like you're broken. One translation of Genesis 3:15 speaks of the bruises being only a bruise. It's only a bruise, meaning it will heal if you allow it to heal. So God this morning said, I want to heal those things that you've been holding on that you just won't allow them to be healed. But those bruises, if you allow me to heal it, I will help you through it, and I will help you help somebody else to go through what you went through. So when you are allowing your bruises not to allow you to be broken, you can share your story to help somebody else so that they won't be stuck the way you were stuck. Even though you might have been stuck, but you cut down. What you do to the devil, let him know. You might have took me out for a year, but this person only going to lose 3 months. Because bruised people see and can identify injuries. That's why he made us wounded healers. But allow you, if you don't allow him in, he can't heal and he can't really use you to be a wounded healer. When Jesus showed up with the disciples, the first thing he did was do what? Show them his what? Wounds. He could have hid them. He could have just showed up in his great self. But the first thing he said, see my hands? See the wounds on my side? I'm bruised, but I'm not broken. I'm here, just like I said I would be. I'm showing up to be here for you. I'm not allowing what I went through. I'm not allowing your rejection, your denial, me dying alone with my mother and just with John. I am not allowing y'all tripping to keep me from showing up. Wow. That's being bruised and not broken. Until you can walk through the doors, I don't care who talked to you, talk wrong about you in the row, who did not do what, you still broke, you allowing your bruises to break you. I ain't coming to church because they not treating me right. They not doing this. I'm not cooking dinner. My husband not love me the way I need him to love me. He didn't do this. I'm not doing that because you still broken. So God says, show me your wounds. I want to heal them. So you can show up for somebody else. Can you imagine a church that shows its wounds, how big the power of God will rest in the sanctuary? Whether you got out of this lifestyle or working through this lifestyle, God will help you minister deliverance to someone. I talked to some young sister after service. I said, you're smoking. I know you're smoking. You're getting high. I said, I love you. I understand you're trying to anesthetize your pain, showing wounds. But you're going to, I said, but this day and age, you're going to shorten the years of your life. You don't know what you're getting. You could be getting stuff that lace. I want you to live, and so does he. It's time to receive healing for the bruises you have and stop being broken. So that's what God wants to do today. Everyone's standing. Are you with me this morning? Romans 8:28 said, we are assured and know that God, being a partner in our labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan. Jesus' wounds that he took for us on that cross was fitting into a plan. Plan of reconciliation, reconciling man back to God. He had all power and ability to do things the way he wanted to do them. He could have said, after I did my duty, God, I'm out. Bump all these people. When you're really hurt by people, that's the thing you say. Let them figure that out. You have to answer to a situation and you won't open your mouth. You're bruised and you're allowing yourself to be broken because you're hurt. So this morning, if you're ready to allow your bruises to receive healing, if you want ointment for that matter, make your way to the altar. Make your way to the altar. I just want to have them gather. Make your way to the altar. As a mother, you see that, you can tell that there's some stuff that you're not fully healed of because it keeps showing up in your mothering. But you say, you know what? I'm no longer going to allow this bruise to fester in my life and have me operate broken. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. God wants to do something in our lives, family. I really believe we're on the brink of some major stuff happening. But we gotta stop allowing our bruises to dictate our capacity, cause us not to show up. I could have said, you know what, honey, I can't do this. It was too much. I'm gotta get over some stuff, Kendra. I thought I was healed, but I'm not. And she would have said, okay, Ma. But hurt. What are you allowing in your life to keep you from doing what you know you need to do? You know you need to do this, but you just can't do it. You can't. You're suffering from the I can't help it. I can't do it. Glory to God. Some of us are so ashamed of our bruises that you think that it has disqualified you for your next, for what God has even showed you in your dreams. It's like, no, that can't be me. It is you. Because God said, I'm going to work that in for my glory. I'm going to work it in. I'm going to work it in. Make your way to the altar. Thank you, Lord God. Praise God. I'm going to pray for you corporately. We have some amazing individuals who are a part of some InReach ministries here. Dinah Taylor, mental health. She's our leader for the mental health ministry. Kim Smith, Expecting Miracles. Tiffany Conyers, Man Mothers, Assisting Mothers. Mother Assisting Mothers. If y'all can kind of come up. Why don't y'all come up over here? I know I'm pulling you on the platform. I know I didn't tell y'all I don't do that. But I need them to see you so they can find you after service. Because what I'm going to do, I'm going to pray, but then I want you to connect with this InReach ministry so you can do the work. You know, find support.
If you love our podcast and the impartation you gain from it, we encourage you to become an iChurch member. As an iChurch member, you'll get access to exclusive digital content as well as an online community and various small group sessions. To find out more, visit rdci.info/iChurch. Connect with us for digital impartation weekly. Join Bishop Herbert and Dr. Marsha Bailey on Clubhouse for Marriage, Faith, and Family Inside Kingdom Business Network on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/RDCITV. We stream live services on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, as well as Wednesday at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Ladies, join us for Manifest on Fridays at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time.